The scene out the passenger side window was like something off a New England postcard. Trees rolling away in every direction, a patchwork quilt picked out in a cornucopia of fall shades, drawn up around the necks of the distant hillsides against the chill in the air. I cracked the window slightly, hoping for a hint of that fall scent, part wood smoke and part decay, which makes it sound morbid and terrible, but I'd wear it as perfume if someone could figure out how to bottle it. That, and whatever they use in those fir tree candles you find at the seriously overpriced boutiques around Christmas. Not the cheap Yankee candle crap, the expensive soy ones by companies named after herbs. I want to live inside those candles. Remember the time we went camping around here? I glanced across the console at Blake. He pulled his eyes away from the road just long enough to flash his wry half-smile at me, the one that brought out the dimple in his left cheek. The imbalance always made him look mischievous, as if he was plotting something he knew the powers that be would disapprove of. I used to get all melty describing his dimple to girlfriends, the feature that turned his boyishly handsome face interesting. I thought back to that first camping trip, years ago now, just after we'd started dating. Blake had just started at Playpen, and the entire staff was on ramen subsistence wages, one step below ramen profitable, according to Blake. He was still in that decrepit walk-up in Bushwick. We both still had roommates, and the need to fuck each other's brains out was still at that semi-feral level that only lasts a few months, maybe a year if you're lucky. It had seemed like such a good idea. A campfire, stars twinkling overhead, miles and miles of empty woods, just waiting for us to defile them. I raised an eyebrow, mouth twisting into a small smile. What was it the doctor said?
I believe his exact words were, "Never seen poison ivy there before."
Blake turned to me again, blue eyes sparkling.
But it was more his tone. Actually, calling me a degenerate scumbag would have been redundant.
Well, you disappointed him, obviously. A laugh burst out of me. Remember the look on his face when I asked him to check me out? I don't care how ancient the guy was. You'd think a doctor would be able to hear the word vagina without having an aneurysm.
To be fair, when he went to medical school, the preferred term was portal of shame. I'm just lucky he prescribed calamine lotion instead of penance.
Clearly he didn't know you well enough. Blake's smile faltered for just a second, eyes narrowing, and just like that, there it was again, rearing up between us with a malevolent grin. Remember me? Of course I did. I couldn't forget about it for more than a few seconds. The mass of everything we weren't saying was so damned hulking, I was surprised we'd been able to squeeze into the Prius alongside it. I turned back to the window, jaw tightening in a way so familiar that lately it was starting to give me headaches.
Don't worry. I asked when I booked the room. Genital rashes are not included with our package.
I could almost hear the hopeful look in his eyes. With a monumental effort of will, I prized my jaw open wide enough to slip out a noncommittal, "That's good." A few minutes later, we pulled off the highway. A McDonald's and a smattering of gas stations had sprouted around the exit ramp. But within a few blocks, they gave way to folksy-looking shops with hand-painted signs advertising car repair prowess, hot coffee, or in one case, antiques and live bait. The obvious combo. I bet their milkshakes are good, I said, pointing across the intersection. Towns like this always have the best ice cream.
We don't really have time to stop, Blake said, mouth screwing off to the side. We're running late.
Fury shot through me like a flame. Fine, I huffed out a breath through my nose.
I mean, if you really want one.
Did I say I wanted one?